Last night, the Tempe City Council decided to follow recommendations by staff to take more formal steps in looking into whether some of the city's streets and parks should be renamed. The process began when research by the Tempe History Museum indicated the number of streets, parks, and schools had been named after residents who'd been members of the KKK. Tempe is just the latest community to grapple with how to move forward in a similar vein to decisions in other places to do away with Confederate statues. To learn more, I spoke earlier with ASU senior lecturer Joshua Kane, and I began by asking for his assessment of where our society is right now as it relates to changing names and, for some, modifying our history.
Unfortunately, it causes conflict, and just in the way that our whole society today in America is divided along that same liberal-conservative line. But there's different levels of that conflict. And one of the things I think that the reason it becomes an issue that is in the news a lot is it's one of those things that people can focus on that they feel like they have the power to actually change. When we think about institutional and systemic racism, which is really what we're struggling with in the United States today, it's so entrenched and so difficult to change. Like, think about the criminal justice system or policing and the systemic and institutional racism that exists in it. How do we change that? It becomes an almost impossible discussion to have, let alone something to actually be able to act on. Changing names, moving statues, these are things that people are focusing on in lieu of the deeper issues because they feel like they have some power to actually change those things. And so I think that is part of this debate. And one of the reasons why it's in the news so much is it's one of the few things that people feel like they can actually focus on, act towards, and change regarding institutional racism when most of institutional racism is very difficult to change.
Joshua, how much is the situation complicated, not when we're talking about KKK members or overt racists, but when it's about accomplished Americans, let's say like former presidents Thomas Jefferson and Woodrow Wilson, to name just two examples?
Very much. And that's where it gets most complex. So the second level of complexity is the Confederacy and Confederacy monuments and namings. And that's less complex because these people were literally fighting against the United States and the Constitution and all that governs us today and our union. And so more complex because many Southerners and Southern states, and maybe certainly some people in Arizona as well, they view that as part of their identity and culture more so than the names for these KKK individuals that we see in Tempe. And when people feel that identity, they fear. It triggers people to have their identity denigrated or put in the shadows. It makes them feel like they're going to be put in the shadows. But the constitutional founders and presidents like Woodrow Wilson, that's going to be the most complex and the most long-lived of these sorts of debates. And I think the question becomes, can we divorce our ideas, the ideas that create the foundation of constitutional democracy, liberal democracy, and progressivism, can we divorce those ideas from the personalities and the peoples who we hail as having written them? And one thing that's really interesting about Thomas Jefferson is Thomas Jefferson did not come up with those ideas. He happened to be in a position to write them for the founders, who were all very rich white males in power positions and therefore in leadership positions to express these ideas. But the ideas are not theirs. The ideas come from the 17th and 18th century political philosophers like John Locke. And when we think about the ideas, we don't connect them with John Locke. Really, when we think about our constitutional democracy, nobody is like, well, if we throw out John Locke, we have to throw out the Constitution. I do think that statues and effigies and naming from Thomas Jefferson increasingly in our society is going to look passé. We are a multicultural society. We are, in fact, a global superpower, multicultural society in which there's not even going to be a majority within the next 15 years. We're all going to be minorities. And it's really important that our institutions reflect community. It's always important that institutions reflect community, because when they don't reflect community, they lose legitimacy, and then they can't serve us effectively. They can't serve communities effectively.
And clearly, there's a lot of controversy about this. So what do you say to the critics who believe This is some example of trying to erase history in some way.
This idea that what people fear when they see Thomas Jefferson's statue being removed from City Hall by a progressive mayor like de Blasio, what they fear, conservatives certainly fear some sort of socialist or worse, communist, cultural, Maoist revolution that will change the structure of our democracy. And so I think what they actually fear is the structure of our democracy changing. And then there's all those some sort of lower, more subconscious cultural identities that get triggered when these things come into the news and a statue like Thomas Jefferson is getting removed. And so, first of all, you're not erasing the history. Nobody's erasing the history. Nobody's destroying Thomas Jefferson's statue. That is a work of art. That is a historic piece of art. It's going to go into a private collection. And then anybody who wants to see it will still be able to see it. It just won't be on public property where it triggers the, you know, more and more of the community that that public property and that organization and institution is meant to serve. And so why should we have it on public property in an institution that's meant to serve the community when it triggers and brings back ideas of racism and problematic history that no longer governs us in the United States? Why do we need that statue there? And if it's going into a private collection, that's not erasing history. And if it's going into a private collection, where's the jump to some culturalist Maoist revolution where America loses its structure of constitutional democracy? And so I think a lot of this is knee-jerk reaction, ignorance, and a misunderstanding of that exact separation between the identity of the people who we hail for writing these things and these structures and constitutional ideas themselves.
That is Joshua Kane. He's a senior lecturer in ASU's College of Integrative Sciences and Arts.